I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real than probably die harder.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with Coach Brandon Lumberg.
Hey.
Still drunk from this weekend's Michigan victory over Ohio State.
The balance of the world has been restored with this victory, right?
I'm always a fan to see Ohio State lose. Never been a big fan. Maurice Claret was the last time I rooted for Ohio State.
Yeah, that he was a heck of a player for sure. Yeah, this is definitely a huge win, and I mean, for Jim Harbaugh, this is something he had to do this year. Like we were just chatting about, I mean, the guy took a pay cut this year and came in and hired, you know, one of the youngest coaching staffs in all of college football, by the way, and brought in a new defensive coordinator, got rid of Don Brown, and just basically they installed the Ravens defense. And then they, on top of that, they installed the Ravens offense and the way that the Ravens like to run the football. They beat Ohio State in the most Michigan way. I mean, you know, we just talked about in this game, Michigan, no tackles for loss allowed by the Ohio State defense. Something that hasn't happened since before Jim Tressel arrived at Ohio State. So that's a long time. No team has been able to prevent the Ohio State defense from at least getting one tackle for loss at least. So pretty incredible and awesome. It's a great feeling. And since I live in Ohio, it's fun to see some of these Ohio State fans kind of, you know, sad for once.
With no
football the next week, you know,
they'll be okay. Yeah.
Yeah, usually they're in the Big Ten title game, you know, they're like talking about another game, but they don't have another game. They got to wait to see what happens here to see where their team's going to play in a bowl game. So we'll see.
Yeah, there's no chance of them making the title anymore, right?
No, I mean, no.
Yeah,
they're done.
Does Michigan have a chance to get in the playoff?
Yeah. So tonight's the college football playoff. I think the AP poll, they're already second. Coaches poll, they're third.
Nice.
A lot of people are projecting Michigan should be number two in the playoff poll. So they win the Big Ten title game, which is Saturday night against Iowa. Not going to be an easy game because Iowa always gives Michigan problems. The last game they played was 10-3 in 2019. Michigan won that.
Oh, wow.
Look out for the tight ends. Yeah, look out for an 11-8 score with like two safeties in this game because that's the kind of game I feel this could be. But yeah, they win this game. They're in the college football playoff and we'll see how all the other craziness shakes out. I know Alabama and Georgia play this weekend.
USC out of it. I wouldn't mind seeing a Michigan title. It'd be fun.
You're going to see USC in it though.
Oh,
and
Lincoln
since we're
Riley,
on the topic
don't
of
get me started.
Yeah. Since we're on the topic of college football discussion, because I can talk college football, you know, all day long, Lincoln Riley to USC is a big deal. And, you know, I had a little bit of a mixed feeling about it. And you said you had mixed feelings about it. But I think the way that he is as an offensive mind with that kind of recruiting territory over there in California, he's going to be dynamite.
I have mixed feelings not about his success. I have mixed feelings about I just feel like USC's identity has always been like our best teams have been the power I've mixed with West Coast offense. Like.
Yeah,
I don't think under Lincoln Riley we're ever going to see a power run game like that again.
Well, you're going to get an air raid offense
that
relies on the run game when they need it.
And yeah, but there's nothing like in college watching like an I formation line up and just destroy. Like, it's a rich history of Heisman running backs. That's why running back has always been my favorite position because like you grow up watching the greats.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. He's going to get a quarterback, either one that's already there, one's going to transfer in, and USC is going to be on the map immediately.
My favorite USC running back growing up, he didn't do a lot as a running back in the NFL, but he was great in college. And he was an all-pro kick returner, Chad Morton, Johnny Morton's kid.
Okay.
He rushed for like 1,100 yards his senior year. He was really fun to watch with Carson Palmer. He was very fast. These were on the off tackle, and he would just hit the chest.
We're talking like what early Pete Carroll days?
No, before Pete Carroll.
Even
actually.
Before Pete arrived.
Yeah,
okay.
Like right
when Carson
Pete
was
arrived.
Really, really bad.
Yeah, when it was,
Carson was bad.
Paul Abbott. He was so fun. And then he was like an all pro kick returner. I think on the Jets, the Lions, a couple people.
Dude, USC nice. Needs to, USC is good for college football. Michigan's good for college football. Notre Dame.
Need Oregon and USC to be good to be a national interest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Oregon will continue to be successful. I think
Oregon will
be your,
fine. As long as the owner of Nike keeps pumping in those cool uniforms, they're good.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. And they have a good coach, too. Cristobal, if they keep him there, mm-hmm. he doesn't bail on them. Heck of a football coach. So.
Hell yeah. All right, but this is an NFL podcast. Screw the college. But funny enough, Urban Meyer is really trying to make everyone believe he's not leaving the NFL for any college position.
I would. If I'm Urban Meyer and in my contract for so many years, even before he got to Ohio State, even when he was at Florida, he had the stipulation, zero buyout if Ohio State, Michigan, or Notre Dame come calling. And he can take any of those three jobs. Those were all three his listed dream jobs. He wanted to coach at one of those three schools. Ohio State happened by chance because Jim Tressel, resigned or was let go, basically fired because of that scandal with Terrell Pryor and the tattoo gate situation. But that kind of fell into perfect place for Urban Meyer. And now here's an opportunity where he's not really having great success right now in the NFL. Do you really love it?
He's literally
because you could end up at Notre Dame.
Trevor Lawrence's career.
Yeah. And I think that you and I just talked about, you know, academically, is that a good school? Is Notre Dame a good opportunity for somebody like Urban Meyer? But if Notre Dame's smart and they want to avoid potential scandals or any kind of drama down the line, probably go with Luke Fickle from Cincinnati.
Yeah, probably. All right, Brandon, we got a bunch of NFL action to jump into today. Shout out to our boy. The substitute class is a little too much in session right now. And he'll be back in a couple weeks. Let's talk about the Bears and Lions. The worst Thanksgiving Day game. Maybe not the worst in the sense of it was close because the Bills and Saints, but it was brutal to watch. That's for sure. They knocked DeAndre Swift, probably the best player in this game, out. A good 5 minutes into the first quarter. There goes my fantasy season. And the Bears, Andy Dalton, got another random dub for his weird-ass career.
He graded well, according to PFF, so he had, a top 10 grade for the week, but I mean, we're talking about the Bears and the Lions here. The Lions, they should be picking first in this year's NFL draft. And I know I was talking to our former podcast associate, who is a huge Lions fan. Well, I wouldn't say
shout
huge
out
Lions
nasty
fan.
Nate Parker. Go check out the fantasy cast.
There you go.
Super fun fantasy podcast. It's just 15 minutes long. It's a good listen.
Yeah. And, you know, I had a little back and forth with him. He's like, who should the Lions take number one? And he was saying Aiden Hutchinson, because now that's the most popular pick among everyone now that it's more mainstream after the Ohio State game.
What was that? 15 quarterback pressures, you said?
Yeah. 15 pressures, the most in the Pro Football Focus.
That's
crazy. Yeah. And 3 sacks. And he jumped to third in the Heisman, odds. Yeah. I think that's on DraftKings. So, you know, this is one of those weird years in college football. But anyway, if you're going to get a game changing player in this draft, the Lions definitely need one on defense. That would be your guy. That having a pass rusher like that helps everything around you. They still need a quarterback. Jared Goff had an okay game, but he's just not the answer.
He's not.
You know,
I mean,
and
McVay
I hate.
Knew.
Yeah. McVay definitely knew. And I just, the Bears are awful too. They're not great. They have pieces, but they're not.
Well, I don't understand why the Bears just didn't go with it, because before the game, it was reported that Matt Nagy would lose his job whether he wins this game
loses. I know.
And then they came out and did damage control beforehand. This is a false report. Nagy's not getting fired. It's like, why not just go with the momentum when they saw the elation of all
did
the
you
fan
read
base.
Did you read how the report came out? I guess there was this dude that did a podcast with Allen Robinson. I can't remember his name, but he does some local podcast stuff up in Chicago or whatever. I don't know the whole situation, but I guess him and Allen Robinson have a relationship. And this guy was the one who leaked the report. then Allen Robinson's name kind of came up and he's like, I'm not involved in any of this and all that. So there's a whole lot going on with that.
Killing Allen Robinson's career straight up.
Yeah, and Allen Robinson's probably like, come on, man. Yeah, like, just do something here. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's an interesting situation. I think Nagy will be done. If not last week, maybe they're going to give him another week or two. But I expect him to be gone.
I'm seeing some weird videos on ESPN right now of rumors of Russell Wilson being traded to New Orleans in the offseason.
Yeah, that's...
That'd be pretty very realistic. Man,
that would
Wilson
be
in a Sean Payton offense. Oh my God.
Why would you even do that? Like, are you really, I think that that's something that leaks out on purpose to scare people.
Yeah.
Because
like, if I was the Saints, it's just like, how many draft picks do you want?
So how many do they even have? I don't even know how many are they,
Imagine
one of
Michael
the teams
Thomas running slants for Russ Wilson.
Oh, dude, I mean, Russell Wilson helps
Alvin
make your receivers better.
Kamara out of the backfield for Russell Wilson. That, oh my God, that would be incredible. Okay, let's keep going. Sorry. Raiders.
No, that's
Cowboys.
A good shout out. I like it. Because
if
that happens.
Next to the screen, I'm like, what? Because it says Russell Wilson looks miserable playing for Seahawks. And he did look miserable last night. It did not look fun.
Well, yeah.
Oh, they're do you not losing. Enjoy your blue haired orgy wide receiver, DK Metcalf? Did you see after I said that a couple podcasts ago, he came out and he said, I just got to be better, man. Like, it wasn't just me. Like, people were starting to be like,
no,
yo,
you're right.
You
you're right about that, too. And you made me think about it a lot because, all right, from the fantasy perspective, fantasy football, not the fantasy perspective from DK's perspective, but for the fantasy football aspect of it, he's a guy that if you own shares of him in like a keeper league or a dynasty league, you got to rethink what you might want to do there because who's going to be the quarterback?
Exactly.
Then, you know, Tyler Lockett drops off big time when there's no Russ.
One of my favorite dudes on TikTok, his name's slipping me, but he's this kid and he's talking about rebuilds in the off season. And he said the best matchup would be to trade Russ to the Giants for Daniel Jones in a first. Cause the Giants have two firsts or Daniel Jones in two firsts. And I was like, yes, yes, yes. Just do it. Just do it.
It's a big market. You know, I think for him to go to, would that not make sense for him?
It would, totally.
For your brand and all of that, and you finish your career
and
out that way.
His arm is strong enough where he could throw against the wind there, too. So.
That's very true, actually. He's such a good player. Yeah, he just needs a coach, too, that matches up with what he can do.
Which Sean Payton would be incredible.
He matches up with anybody.
Yeah.
He's making Trevor Siemian look decent, and
that's
frightening.
Insane. Raiders and Cowboys, most watched game of all time nationally. Thanksgiving Day of all time, highest ratings of all time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And it was a game. It was a game. The shout out Dan Quinn for absolutely forgetting how to call a defensive game in this game. Raiders just destroyed the Cowboys defense.
Yeah. I would say that, you know, for the Cowboys overall, it's a matter of getting back to basics as a team. You know, I mean, run the football, get your team into better situations on third down. They were terrible on third down. They converted like 3 of 13 on third down. You know, they had 64 total yards rushing. They averaged 3.2 yards per run. That's not a winning recipe. If you look at the teams that are having a lot of success right now in the NFL, they have a run game, right? To complement their quarterback. Look at how the Colts are doing it, even though that they lost. Look at how Tampa ended up finishing the game. They won because of their run game. You know, they were able to do that down the stretch. Look at what Cincinnati's been doing. They have a great complementary run game, obviously. So you got to get back to that. You got to figure out also who's going to be the guy. If Zeke is too hurt to be consistently on the field,
it's Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard will be the guy. We saw he put on a show on Thanksgiving to get those chunk plays receiving and then to take that kickoff back to tie the game.
Yes. Yeah.
That
was
so
that's a huge deal.
The burners on.
So you need to think about that. You need to think, okay, is Pollard going to be the guy that we can give it to between the tackles as well as a receiver out of the backfield, or at least don't just give up on your run game. I think the Cowboys have a tendency to do that. I mean, look, they threw the ball 47 times out of 68 plays. So try to be a little more balanced regardless of the situation. Don't get yourself, don't put your defense in that position too, right? They had a lot of three and outs in this game. When I was looking at just the play-by-play thing, I'm going through, I'm like, oh wow, three and out, three and out, three and out, punt, 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 punt. You're putting your defense in a bad spot while doing that. So you can't throw all the blame on Quinn in that regard. So I don't know. I would definitely say get back to basics, run the football. For the Raiders, look at what they did.
This is a big win for the Raiders. It keeps them in the playoff hunt. It gets the confidence back on Derek Carr. Hunter Renfrow has kind of emerged since the Ruggs injury as like their number one guy at wide receiver now. And Josh Jacobs even looked tough in this one too. He looks like he's getting healthier week by week.
Yeah, and look at what they did. 77 total plays. They threw the ball 39 times, so they were really balanced.
They did this without Darren Waller most of the game too.
Yeah, which that's awesome because they don't really have who's Renfrow. That's your guy. Yeah. That's the main receiver that
and
you have.
And Edwards oozes with potential, but he hasn't put it all together yet.
But they rush for 143 yards, and that's good in the NFL. Like, you don't need 200 yards rushing. 143 is really good for an NFL game at 4.1 yards per attempt. And then you've got Jacobs leading the way at 87 yards on 22 attempts. Not phenomenal, but that's what you want. You know, he's grinding out 3 yards a pop, 3 yards a pop, you know, getting you tough yards between the tackles. And that sets up play action and other things for your quarterback to be successful. And that's what Dallas needs to be able to do. They got to get back to that kind of offense and they'll see more success with Dak. Dak is a rhythm guy. He can be a rhythm guy.
He is. Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills, 31-6 on the New Orleans Saints, which I saw this coming, especially with Mark Ingram. Out. I wish I could have changed my pick because we did the picks early. Mark Ingram and Kamara out. I thought at least one of them would play. The base of their run game, it just wasn't there.
The Bills, I mean, have they been that impressive really in recent weeks, honestly? I mean,
they just got
this is
by
huge.
The Colts. They got housed by the Colts.
There you go. So you've got a matchup with the Saints defense that's considered one of the best or more elite teams in the league. You know, Allen looked good this week. You know, he had the fourth highest PFF grade among quarterbacks.
He's still in the MVP running.
Yeah, I mean, third highest QBR and third in yards per attempt at 9.3. So he had a couple interceptions.
This is the latest in the year that no one has ran away with the MVP, I feel like, or started to run away with.
A lot of people are still saying Brady.
Yeah, I would lead more towards Jonathan Taylor than Brady right now, but yeah.
I like that. I like the Taylor thing. I'm still thinking it's going to end up being Tom Brady at the end of the day, just because of age.
It is incredible, hands down.
Regardless of how he's doing it. If he's not throwing for 300 or 400 yards every week, it doesn't matter. They're winning games, right? That game was a tough one. Against the Colts, which proves that the Colts are a team and a force to be reckoned with. You brought it up a couple shows ago. They're one of your dark horse contenders, and it's very real.
The dark horse contender for me.
It's very, very, very real because they can run the football. They can run the football against. They were running the ball well.
And the defense is getting tougher as the season goes on. Yeah. DeForest Buckner was killing Brady up the middle.
Yeah. So. they complement the defense very well when they can run the ball. And then Wentz was attacking down the field a lot, trying to get that defense to back off. Hey, yeah. I mean, I'm not. But anyway, back to the Bills.
The Bills are the Bills. I would be very afraid if I was the Bills watching the Patriots creep up behind them. I will leave it at that.
Yeah. New England.
And don't sleep on Miami either. That's like four in a row now.
Yeah, I would say the Bills are in kind of a weird spot with the Patriots creeping up. And the way the Patriots are playing football, it's going to be a Josh Allen nightmare when they play. When do they play, actually? Are they playing? Is that this week or am I a week away?
I don't think it's this week.
Okay, well, it's coming, right? Like, you can hear the drum beat, steady drum beat coming for Josh Allen.
The war drums, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Matthew Judon with his red long sleeves.
I just.
Oh, it is this week.
Okay, there you go.
It's the night game.
Okay. All right. So I knew I could hear those drums, but Bill Belichick's going to, man, Josh Allen's going to have a hard time. This is going to be a good game. But yeah, going back to the going back to what they did against the Saints, Josh Allen had a good game. The Bills defense did what they had to do. If they continue to play like they're playing defensively, and if they can actually get their run game going, they're starting to incorporate Matt Breida quite a bit into their offensive game plan as not just a runner, but as a receiver.
He used to be so explosive on San Fran. I always wondered, he went to Miami in purgatory, and then when they brought him into Buffalo, I was like, man, his speed in this offense on screens could be crazy.
And they're using him now. In that regard, he scored on a screen this past week. So you brought that up, the screen. And I remember because I'm watching it, you know, live, and I'm like, okay, this is nice because these are the things that he was good at San Francisco.
Put the fast guys in open space. That's what you do.
That's exactly it. And the Bills are figuring it out. And I believe Moss was like benched. You know, he was a healthy scratch.
Healthy scratch. Is the report. For good reason. Yeah. The guy's like 2 yards in a cloud, not even a cloud of dust, a poof of dust.
Yeah. So he's definitely fallen from the grace. You know, he was the poor man's J.K. Dobbins coming out of the draft.
Cincinnati Bengals, Pittsburgh Steelers. Did the Bengals just graduate? Was there a passing of the guard here? Are they the second or first best team in the?
Listen, you love the Bengals, man.
I've been all over the Bengals.
You love them. You've been ragging on me since I traded Joe Mixon in a fantasy league, one of our fantasy leagues.
My biggest regret
secretly regretted it.
My biggest regret of the fantasy season was not I had the back end, the last pick. I could have had Najee Harris and Joe Mixon, but I was like, no, get an elite wide receiver. Go get Calvin Ridley. I ended still up getting Joe Mixon. I could have had Najee Harris and Joe Mixon back to back.
That would have been perfect.
You guys scared me off of him. I thought Joe Mixon, they let go of Gio Bernard. I thought he was going to have his best year. And then you're like, the offensive line's terrible. The offensive line's terrible.
You're right. On paper, and everybody was saying it too. On paper, all that.
Yeah.
But check it out. Look, I've watched every Bengals game this year, and the one constant on that offensive line is they've gotten better. They've consistently gotten better, especially
it's the
in
the same thing I say, dude. The offensive line is the only thing that you can get better at.
And both their tackles have played well. Riley Reif has been, you know, a godsend on at right tackle for them.
Discount too.
Yeah, and they really like to run to his direction this season. They run 70% of their running game is outside. Well, it's zone run scheme, but a lot of outside zone. Where Mixon just kind of picks his spots, where it finds the hole, hits, you know, one cut, cuts back, hits the lane that's open for him. So,
dude, Mixon's on pace for 13, 15, 16 TDs.
Oh, he's like third, I believe, in rush attempts too. I was looking at this stuff and I'm like, man, he's having a year.
Yeah, he's on pace for 303.
Yeah, so he's having a great year. And yeah, I'm impressed with what they're doing, and it makes it so hard for teams to, you can't really load up on the box and the run game when you have to cover T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, and Ja'Marr Chase. And then you've got a quarterback who you have to respect Joe Burrow's arm. He's no slouch. This guy is for real. So hats off to Zach Taylor and what he's been able to do.
T. Higgins, that's someone to talk about. He's been like consistent all season. But now that he's emerging as like a strong number two, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, that's like a, I'd throw him up there in the top five wide receiver trios in the NFL, right?
Yeah. I mean, these guys, well, who would be first?
The Bucks.
Who would you, Bucks, Cowboys, maybe?
Yeah, Cowboys second for sure.
And then, yeah.
There was an argument for the Steelers, but with injuries and everything, I would back off.
The quarterback position is just if you put a quarterback on the Steelers, like if Aaron Rodgers in the offseason were to become a Steeler, then you would rethink that.
I mean, the fact that Ja'Marr Chase is elevated like superstar status as a rookie just makes, and all these guys are within their first like 4 years of their NFL career. It's pretty crazy.
It's pretty disgusting, honestly.
Bengals. Is there a chance? Yeah, maybe.
There's a chance for them to.
If they can protect Joe, they can do anything.
look, the way this division looks right now, the best team looks like the Bengals right now. If we're just looking at a 1 week, overall, the most complete team right now looks like Cincinnati.
Yeah. Cincinnati's had the most like convincing wins.
Yeah.
Baltimore's had so many close games.
Yeah. And they don't have the run game to help Lamar. And Lamar is just trying to do too much. Like, he can't stand in there and be the passer that he wants to be without a run threat.
That's true.
Not just him as a runner, but someone to back him up. And that's killing those guys. So.
And the NFL would love for Joe Burrow to step up and become like an elite quarterback, too, because they're running out of him.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Yeah,
they really are. I think Burrow will be, though. And he's getting there. We could see him be elite before the end of this year.
He still makes showing some stupid throws sometimes. But yeah.
Second year guy, man, who only played what? How many games did he play last year?
He didn't even play that many in college either, so that makes sense.
Right. He was third string at Ohio State, by the way.
And then when Ohio State really needs to examine their depth charts more. They got a Heisman contender down in Alabama that they had. They had Joe Burrow.
They couldn't hold on to him. These guys are leaving. They're like, see ya. Look, Burrow was the backup to JT Barrett. And Cardale Jones was on that same roster.
Yeah.
Or Haskins. It was Barrett, Haskins, I think. Yeah, whatever.
Eagles and Giants. Giants pulled this one out of their butts, 13-7. This was an ugly game. It was not fun. It was not cool. It was a game. That's what it was. Jalen Hurts was a little rough in this one. 3 picks. Gardner Minshew was warming up on the sidelines, but he finished the game. Also had 8 carries for 77 yards as the running back that he is. I feel like Jalen Hurts is what people want us to think Lamar is, the Lamar haters.
No, you're right.
Yeah, like this is what they mean when he's a running back. No. Jalen Hurts is a running back that throws the ball sometimes.
Yeah. Hurts makes some good throws and some good reads, but he's not going to be. Look, if I'm the Eagles, who else are you going to get at this point?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're in that same scenario that we kind of, I don't know if I argued with you about this or someone else.
They need to go all in on this. They need to design an offense for Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. And they have done that a little bit. Now, this past week didn't look like it looked the week before when I was clamoring on the show that, oh, wow, they figured it out and they're going to start doing what they've been doing, what the Ravens have been doing with Lamar. They're going to build this. They're going to run the football. They're going to do all the things they need to do. And then this past game, a lot of things looked, you got to be able to throw the football consistently to back up that run game. And the Giants obviously did an okay job.
Saquon had 40 yards rushing and 32 of them on one play and 13 carries.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Their offensive line is terrible. I just want this season to be over for them. Lose the rest of the games, please. Get rid of Daniel Jones. It's all disgusting.
These are two teams that are legitimately in a debacle here, right? Because you've got
the Eagles
Daniel
at
Jones.
Least have like young talent, though.
Yeah. You've got Daniel Jones at quarterback. You got Jalen Hurts at quarterback. I like Hurts with the talent around him to probably get another opportunity. It depends on how things shake out in the offseason. The Giants, though, like you said. You know, they do have good talent, though. I mean,
they do.
They're not terrible at receiver.
If they brought in someone like we talked about earlier, like if they brought in Russell Wilson, like imagine the value that does for an explosive player like Kadarius Toney or a big receiver like Kenny Galladay.
Like, yeah, Russ, though, and I know we talked about this, it's going to be win now for him.
I feel like the Giants offensive line, win now, though. That's the thing.
Got to shore up that line. Russ doesn't want
Russ can move the chains. That's something we haven't had since we drafted Daniel.
Oh, yeah. And he can make maybe he makes
third down drive ender. Just like
and quarterbacks like him can make an offensive line better.
Yeah.
I know that sounds weird, but Daniel Jones doesn't appear to be the guy who's making an offensive line better.
Let's look at the Chargers and Broncos. Another surprising one. This one, the Broncos, just every other week, they just look beastly. On defense. And this was another one. Herbert, he did not have a good game. He had moments where he looked like Justin Herbert. Then he had two very bad throws that were picks, especially one to Patrick Surtain. I think the main thing here was they couldn't get the ball moving on the ground. Like, Austin Ekeler only had 12 carries for 31 yards.
Yeah. And, Denver keeps finding a way to kind of hang in there. I mean, they're 6-5 now. So that's pretty impressive, to be honest with you. I think, you know, for Justin Herbert's sake, this year has been kind of an up and down year for him, would you say? I mean, look at what when we watched him against the Ravens. Pains.
I'm not super worried about it.
Second year growing pains. I mean, what he did last year was so amazing. You know?
I think it was very weird that we change up offensive coordinators after, like, wouldn't you try to install like a similar system to how he succeeded so hard his rookie year?
Keep the QB coach, which was Pep Hamilton, which.
Yeah, totally.
They let him go.
I know you love that guy.
Yeah, I think that there had to be something to it, right? With Herbert. So
little shout out to Keenan Allen here. I thought Keenan Allen was on his way to being a little bit done, a little cooked, and Mike Williams is starting to take over. And man, he really reversed that. Mike Williams has just disappeared. And Keenan Allen is on pace for 118 receptions and 1,300 yards. So he's still alive and well. Best route runner in the NFL.
Yeah, we'll see how he should. I mean, I feel he probably has a couple solid years left that he can produce at a high level.
Totally.
For sure.
Where this division, everyone's 6-5 now, right?
Yeah, I believe so, actually.
Yeah, no, Chiefs are 7-4.
Okay, yeah, I figured they were like one game up.
Let's talk about this division. Like, how do we see this? I think Los Angeles and Kansas City make the playoffs.
Yeah. I like Denver the way they're playing. And I like the fact that they're able to run the football consistently.
I like that they have just two good backs, too.
Teddy Bridgewater is so lackluster. But he's just not.
Yeah.
He's okay.
How bad does Drew Lock have to look in practice for them not to test out like the guy they drafted the first before they ditch him?
Look, to be real with you, I don't know. When he came into the game just for Teddy Bridgewater, he didn't really do. He made a couple okay throws and he threw a pick.
Yeah. It's another dumb dude with a cannon arm.
Ton of those.
Yeah, we've got a barrel full of those in the NFL.
There's a ton of those.
Los Angeles Rams, big statement win by the Green Bay Packers here. This throws them back into contender. Aaron Rodgers, man, that chip on the shoulder is real.
Yeah. And
y'all doubt me again? All right.
I know. Look, I doubted him too.
I know.
After that, it took me one game to be like, whoa.
CJ has poisoned your mind against Aaron Rodgers. He has. He is 100% poisoned.
I don't know if he might have poisoned it. Well, after the fact, I'm like, okay, I don't understand. All right, week one, we go into it, and that performance was so putrid that I traded him in a fantasy league. And I kind of regret it now. Like, I really do. And the whole CJ conversation.
You gave Mixon in that one, too. You should regret it.
But the whole CJ conversation, I don't think that's really changed me a lot.
Know,
but now
bro.
I'm seeing where Aaron Rodgers has, even when he was out, like a week ago, you know, he comes back and he just puts up numbers. And it's like he never missed time. Dude's running around with a COVID toe. Well,
he's
not
the second
really.
Best quarterback of all time.
Yeah, I can't really argue that.
Yeah,
and I think this is his year to win.
And there's no one with better arm talent than Aaron Rodgers.
Oh no, best dude! Look, he's what everybody look. Mahomes is great, the arm angles and all that. But this is the original.
If you're talking
arm
on
angle
the run,
extraordinaire off just, platform,
it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It never gets old. The Hail Marys are just. It's
Tom Brady's still saying he hasn't hit a Hail Mary, by the way. That was a conversation he was having. But Aaron Rodgers, this is probably a good year for him to be able to get over the hump. And the Packers, too. LaFleur, hats off to him. His play calling has been great. Mm-hmm. This offense looks good. Look, Aaron Rodgers, too. I mean, look at what Randall Cobb did in this game. You know, 23 yards.
Yeah.
per catch. Sam's
career has been over for 5 years, and he's just out here making a difference.
And you can't stop Adams when they want to get the ball to him. Like, mm-hmm. this guy just, you know, they find a way to get the and football to him. And
Marquez Valdes-Scantling, like, as buttery as his hands are, does have game-changing speed.
Yeah, they're trying, too. They're trying to hit him down the field.
There's a reason why they will not let him go.
No, because they feel like eventually he's going to take off, and mm-hmm. that'll be huge. But let's look at the other side. I mean,
Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham Jr., he showed he still has something left in the tank. That was a beautiful streak that he went on, too. He just outran two guys.
Yeah,
by three steps. He did make a huge play. It looked like vintage Odell.
It's quite frightening that if he does, look at Van Jefferson, too.
Yeah.
That's a guy that you've really liked.
I've loved Van Jefferson. I regret trading him away in a debate that I was over DeMario Williams.
He is a home run hitter. He is a home run hitter for sure. Three catches, 93 yards. He did have 9 targets, so there were some misses obviously in there. But again, Matthew Stafford, 55% completion percentage.
Not great.
He looked pedestrian for the most part in this game. And
he had no running game. That really kills
the Henderson offense. And it's, look, Packers, hats off. Their defense played excellent in this game. They're playing at a very high level right now on both sides of the football. They're playing championship level football right now. And what's crazy about this team, they've got a run game that they can unleash at any time. And that's going to be huge in the playoffs. I really think that the Packers are going to challenge the Bucks this year, and they might get it done.
Sneak into the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yep.
They could win too with the health. Dylan and Aaron Jones, arguably best 1-2 combo.
Dylan he's 3rd and 3. Okay. We got this.
Yeah. Man, there was a play where he carried a pile of like 5 people for the first down. And then they just couldn't pull him down. He just popped out after they called it dead because he was just standing with 5 people on him. Yeah. He's just like, you can't stop me.
And that's scary, man. That's scary.
Bucks Colts, my favorite game of the weekend. I was glued to this one, man. I mean, obviously, you know, I've become a bit of a Colts guy. And the second half, Carson Wentz, man. Bill Simmons said it this week best. Carson Wentz has 90 great minutes in a game. You really don't want him to get off to that hot of a start because you need him in the second half.
Yeah. What's interesting about this game, and we talked about it, is can Carson Wentz win you a game if he's forced to win you a game? This was like the perfect moment for that because you've got a Bucs secondary that's like in disarray and trying to get itself, healed up and healthy. Mm-hmm. And a defense that's like, okay, we're going to take your favorite thing away. We're going to go after Jonathan Taylor, who was after, I believe, a record for most consecutive 100-yard games, I guess.
Yeah.
And they were able to keep him under 100 yards. But aside from that, they're forcing you to do more as a quarterback. And Wentz, honestly, he stepped up. They didn't win this game. And largely in part to the fact, you got Tom Brady. You gave him time at the end. And you don't want to do that because he can find a way to beat you. And they did. And it came down to the run game. Honestly, it came down to the run game.
Well, we're talking about Jonathan Taylor here a bunch. Like, the best running back in this game was Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, he had a huge game. 100 yards rushing on 17, almost 5.9 yards in attempt, 6 yards per attempt, essentially. Gronkowski, 123 yards in this game. Mm-hmm.
But out of the backfield, Leonard Fournette again, 7 receptions. Like,
yeah,
this is the Leonard Fournette touchdowns that we saw at LSU. Like, people compared Leonard Fournette. Like, we haven't talked about this because he's been so disappointing for what we thought he was going to be. People thought Leonard Fournette was the next Earl Campbell. Like, let's not forget this.
No, I know.
That's who people compared him to out of college.
He was being recruited by Michigan, and I follow recruiting hardcore. Mm-hmm. And he was a guy that I was just like, he was going to go to Michigan, and then it kind of fell through. I can't remember what the situation was with that. A.J. Dillon, too, by the way. All these guys, when I see him in the NFL now, and I'm like, oh, look at him. Like, this could have been at Michigan. Dude ends up at Boston College instead of Michigan. And that was because Tyrone Wheatley left, but Michigan staff. But anyway, Fournette, he is what he is right now, and he's turning it on. And this is something that Brady will lean on. And you got to watch Brady at the line of scrimmage. He'll check out of a pass into a run when he sees it. And having a running back like this is a big deal. And again, we're getting into the colder months of the year, the playoff season, all that good stuff. It's going to be, they're going to lean on that more.
Your boy Quiddy Pay from Michigan had a sack this weekend as well.
Yeah. He's definitely a guy who is going
to turn it on.
He's going to be around.
Yeah.
He's going to be around for a while.
So let's talk about the Colts here for a second. Like, I feel though, even the Colts lost and they covered in this one. What I saw from this with the Colts is like, this is a real contending team. Like, they just went up against the Super Bowl champs and could have gone either way. I think you play this game five times, it comes out a few different ways.
Yeah. I really do think the Colts are just, they're still hot. They probably feel good about this game. I would say, I would honestly say they kind of let this one get away. You know,
yeah, they did. They could have won. They were up big going into halftime.
Yeah,
and then Brady does Brady.
Yeah, they could have won this game. They had a good game plan, and so you just have to kind of take that and move forward with it. And I don't know, whatever. I don't know what the Colts' remaining schedule is. Obviously, they're not in the best division, so they're going to have opportunities to pick up a few more easy wins down the road.
Texans next week, W. Patriots the week after that. That's a big game because they're probably going to be competing for that wild card spot. Yep. Cardinals after that. That's going to be a tough game. Man, the Colts play a lot of prime time this year. The Patriots prime time, Cardinals prime time, but then they close it out with the Raiders and Jaguars. Very doable.
Okay, so you've got potentially two gimmies out of the rest of your season.
Pretty much.
And then you've got some toss-ups. I mean, the Patriots, still a toss-up type of game. Cardinals, not really a toss-up to me if they're healthy by the time that game runs around.
Only thrown five interceptions this year.
And that's what you want. You need your quarterback to not hurt you. That's exactly what you need. And you play good defense, and that's what the Colts are going to try to do.
Yep. A lot of people told me that he wasn't a top 10 fantasy quarterback this year. I was very much against that one. Sending him home to his Mr. Miyagi, Mr. Reich.
I honestly, look, man, I remember you arguing back and forth with people. I didn't dive into it because I thought he's at least top 15. But yeah, he's definitely surprised me a lot. Like he started off so crappy. Look, the ankle injuries and all that.
Yeah.
That's so embarrassing.
I mean, which happened, but their line was banged up at the beginning of the year too.
Right. So you're worried about his health and what's going on in his head and all of that. And he's definitely come through. I think he just had a baby, right? Like him and his
little mini Wentz.
Yeah, I think that he told his wife, maybe, I'm hoping I'm right about this. I think it's Carson Wentz, but I think he told his wife that if she had the baby on game day, like last week, maybe, that he wouldn't be able to make it to the hospital. So, but fortunately, she had it before.
The man loves football.
So he's trying to prove that he cares about the game, obviously. So
Miami Dolphins, Carolina Panthers, Miami 33, Carolina 10. And that's not even the worst part of this story. Listen, there was a lot of emotion last week. Cam came back. It was beautiful. We loved it. He fell short. But did the Dolphins expose Cam here? Is Cam cooked again? Like 5 of 21. It got benched. Straight up. Burned me in a league. I was starting him. I was expecting some more Cam magic.
Yeah, it takes... I was a little mixed on this game only because I was worried about McCaffrey, and that didn't even turn out to be a thing. I mean, Miami just shut him down. I think Cam Newton needs more time. I feel like he's just trying to get reacclimated with what they're doing offensively and getting comfortable with that. But again, who do you have? You got Philip Walker. Is there anybody
Apparently,
else?
Apparently, they got Matt Barkley. They just picked up Matt Barkley. So it's a USC reunion. They got Matt Barkley, Sam Darnold.
It's a mess right now. I mean, maybe Matt Rhule.
Christian McCaffrey's done for the year.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a business decision at this point.
Probably.
For a guy, and he loves football, like he wants to play, but man, like 5-7. You don't feel good about your quarterback situation. You're just going to get hurt worse by continuing to keep trying to play because everything's on you. And DJ Moore can't do anything if he can't get the football, right? And he still had, look, he had four catches for 103 yards, by the way, in this game. but it was four off of 10 targets.
He's the only one who did anything all game.
Yeah.
But the story of this game, and this one I give you and CJ so much credit for. You actually converted me over on this guy. I think I've said this a couple times on this podcast. But I ended up picking him up in a couple of my fantasy leagues, and he's been carrying me down the stretch. Jalen Waddle has emerged.
the duck waddle.
Here. Yeah.
Did you see the duck waddle when he scored?
Yeah, that's great. I love it.
I'm like, what is
nine catches, 137 yards. But the biggest thing in this one, we actually saw him bust a big play for the first time. He's been just a number one wide receiver picking up first downs. And now we're seeing him starting to open up and get into open field.
And he can. He's a guy after the catch who can do some hardcore damage to a defense. And I think that his ankle, the injury from a year ago at Alabama, look, he played in the national title game against Ohio State. He came out, he made a catch, and he looked explosive. And he was only months removed from that ankle injury. And he still was hobbling. Okay. So like he was walking with a limp, and you could see it this year, even at the start of this season, he wasn't fully explosive. I think maybe he's getting there, and we're going to start to see even more from him as an explosive athlete.
I got him on both of my teams still in contention. There's like $1,700 still on the line.
Well, so, I mean, nine out of 10 targets for 137 yards is pretty impressive.
I got a fantasy team right now that I'm like third in the league. I'm probably better than the second team and arguably better than the first because the way my roster has been progressing throughout the year. I'm starting two rookie wide receivers each week, Ja'Marr Chase and Jalen Waddle. Like that's, I don't know where that ever comes from in fantasy. Two rookie wide receivers.
It never happens.
Yeah.
But that's how good those players are.
I wouldn't have survived. I've had DeAndre Hopkins on this team. So in the playoffs, I'm going to be starting DeAndre Hopkins, Jalen Waddle, Ja'Marr Chase.
That's
Leonard
huge.
Fournette and Nick Chubb.
And going into like fantasy drafts this year, I had conversations with CJ about, you know, the depth at wide receiver and not needing to be as concerned in your fantasy drafts, because if you want to take a chance, you might be able to get one of these rookies and hit on one of them. Right.
Yeah.
So not just the rookie receivers, but I mean, there's good depth around the NFL. I mean, DJ Moore, look at how he started the year. Every team essentially had a guy going into the season for the most part. And some teams have two or three guys. So there's good depth and there's more coming from, you know, this next draft's going to be,
all right, so the
pretty
Dolphins,
good as well. So,
Dolphins, four in a row. They've beaten the Texans, Ravens, Jets, Panthers, Giants next week. I guess they win that game. Jets again win. Saints easily could win. Titans, the way they're looking without Derrick Henry, win. Closes out against the New England Patriots week 17. That might be a playoff spot on the line.
Whew. Three teams out of this division.
If they win their last eight games, that's insane.
Well, I mean, what? You could absorb two more losses and maybe be okay. I feel like an 8-9. Is that right? Am I right?
Tua's starting to take shots down the field. He's ranked 8th in QBR this season, despite the Dolphins ranking last in pass block win rate.
Yeah, I would say I would hold a little bit. I give them a couple more games here. Let's see where if they're at 7-7, then I give them a good shot.
Wow, Jalen Waddle hit a max speed of 21.8 miles per hour on a 57-yard reception. That's the second fastest speed this year by none other than who did we say is fast? Marcus Valdez-Scantling in week 11 at 22.09.
Oof.
That's crazy.
No wonder they keep holding on to him.
Yeah, right? That is some serious speed. That's some Chris Johnson speed right there.
It's insane.
All right, Tennessee Titans, New England Patriots. The Patriots, there's not a lot to say about this one. We've been talking about the Patriots a lot. Mac Jones has been mistake-free, and the Patriots, Kendrick Bourne is one that we should talk about. The versatility of this man.
Oh, wow.
He's been so good for them this year. He's such a classic Patriots wide receiver. If this guy isn't the new David Patton, I don't know who he is. Like, look, he's out here throwing touchdown passes, key blocks, catching touchdowns. Like, this guy's
everybody's
a real deal.
Everybody's criticism of these guys signing Kendrick Bourne and Nelson, both Bourne and Aguilar, this probably goes back to when these guys were draft prospects. Bill Belichick's probably looking at his old big boards thinking, all right, who's out there that we really like that still has a lot left in the tank that we could pick up? And those guys were probably
Aguilar's
somewhere.
Had some big moments for them this season on a 2-year deal.
I guarantee these are players that they scouted that they didn't get in a previous draft that they went back and they did their homework on even more. And they looked at how they've performed since they were drafted. And they thought, okay, these are two free agents we should go get because they fit the profile that we like and what we want to do.
Damien Harris is one of my favorite running backs to watch in the NFL. Watching that little man just run through arm tackles is so funny. It's because he's just running through guys twice his size. Just can't
bring
him down.
Can you believe we're only a few years removed from Sony Michel being, like the next guy, like that playoff run. And then here comes Harris out of nowhere. And it's not really out of nowhere.
Here comes Ramondre Stevens.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So Harris could easily be, taken out by Stevenson at some point.
Well, they're a great Stevenson. 1-2 punch because they're both powerful, but they're different types of power. You got Stevenson's going to hit you in the helmet and Harris is going to hit you in the gut. So,
yeah. And I like what they're doing. Honestly, this team is built the way that they're built the way that they are for a reason. They put this all together for a reason. Mac Jones doing what he's doing. They are a legitimate playoff team. They're not a Super Bowl contender, but their defense gives them a shot.
No, it's true. Now let's look at the Titans on the other side. Matthew Judon actually might win defensive MVP, right? Like at this point, because Myles Garrett's losing ground. He's got 11 and a half sacks already.
Yeah, Garrett's so dominant, man. That's the thing.
I mean, Judon's been pretty dominant this year.
Yeah. If you're looking at a team that's going to be a contender of some sort, then you have to look at it from that perspective and say, Judon.
Mm-hmm. So looking at the Titans, Ryan Tannehill had a rough one, but he doesn't have anyone left to throw it to. Nick Westbrook-Ikeen is his best wide receiver right now, and that explains everything. We didn't think the Titans would be able to run without Derrick Henry. Well, you haven't met Dontrell Hilliard and Deontay Foreman.
Hey, Texas. Dontrell Hilliard was with the Browns.
Yeah.
Last year, I believe, past couple years.
He's one of those guys I tossed way too much fab into 1 year.
Yeah, well... Yeah. For good reason, because D'Ernest Johnson, it was a toss up between him, I believe, and Hilliard last time there were some injuries to the Browns backfield. So this is a testament once again to.
I'm really stoked on Deontay Foreman getting some burn here. I loved him at Texas. I thought he was a fat Ricky Williams.
Yeah. Well, I can't believe I'm looking at this Hilliard stat line, 12 for 131 and basically 11 yards per attempt.
And a bad fumble.
What?
Too.
Oh, well. Yeah, if I'm getting 11 yards a carry and you fumble once, I'm going to be like, okay, I'm going to look past that.
Oh, wow, Deontay Foreman fumbled too, so both of them fumbled. Titans.
No, that'll kill you.
Did the Titans fall out of the playoffs? A.J. Brown's going to be out for a bit.
Their schedule might come back. It comes down.
Jaguars? That's probably a no. Steelers?
There's 9 wins.
I think the Steelers win that one. 49ers? I think the Niners win that one. Dolphins, I think the Dolphins win that one. Close with the Texans. I think the Texans being their last game might save their playoffs.
They can squeak out 10 wins. Yeah, they're a playoff team, man.
The Colts might catch them.
Yeah.
Did you know the Colts have 340 Colts. Points this season?
Wow.
That's crazy. That's I think that's like first in the NFL.
Yeah. They Jonathan Taylor, man.
Let me look at that 1 sec.
That's insane.
Points for New England's got 336, which is crazy. Colts have 340. Cowboys have 326. The Bucks
who would have
347.
Thought,
so the Colts are second to the Bucks.
Who would have thought that you would have the Cowboys being outscored by the Patriots?
That's well, the Patriots have the biggest point differential by far.
Yeah.
It's 336.
I heard that. And their schedule was weak early on, if I'm not mistaken.
They've had the fourth easiest schedule in the NFL this year.
Yeah, so now their schedule's ramping up, but they just, this was supposed to be a tougher game. There's no Derrick Henry.
A win is a win.
Yep.
The Atlanta Falcons, 21. Jacksonville Jaguars, 14. I was all over this one with the Falcons because I did not believe in this Jaguars team at all. Cordarrelle Patterson wasn't sure if he was going to play. Had himself a hell of a game. 16 carries, 108 yards, two touchdowns, two receptions, 27 yards. The question I have for you here, Brandon.
I don't.
Do the Falcons bring back Cordarrelle Patterson as the number one back next year? He hasn't had too much playing time, so there's still run on those legs.
Yeah. The miles are low. I would. I mean,
it's
look
like
at what he's
that
doing.
That Cadillac that the grandma only drove to the grocery store.
Yeah, yeah. And you're like, all right. It's only got 800 miles on it.
What's up with Kyle Pitts?
This offense is what's up with Kyle Pitts.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's Arthur Smith, right?
Well, I think it's a combination of, you know, Matt Ryan, Arthur Smith, their offensive line not being that great. And just no other real complimentary guys. I thought Russell Gage would be better. He's playing better.
He's not TD on Sunday.
Yeah, he's not blowing the doors off of defenses, you know. They don't have a guy doing that, so it puts a lot of pressure on the one guy everybody's going to try to take away, and that's Kyle Pitts.
No,
so
true.
They're going to try to erase him. And a lot of Cordarrelle Patterson's success is, you know, as a receiver is going to be due to teams focusing more on Kyle Pitts.
The question is, does Calvin Ridley come back this season? That's a question on everyone's mind.
I have no idea. I haven't even read into it. I have no clue. I mean, when you brought it up and you made a trade in fantasy, I was like, man, you snake oiled that guy.
I don't think I did. I really think said Monday that he still doesn't have an update on Ridley's personal status. I honestly thought he would be back.
His personal status is, I'll be back next year.
Way less. So I was like, yo, this could be a league winner for you. I need some depth at wide receiver. I thought it was a good deal. There wasn't an intention of ripping him off.
I mean, I just don't know what the Falcons are going to do in the future, honestly. But as for the Jaguars, since we don't need to spend a lot of time talking about them, I don't know what they're going to do either. Honestly,
Lawrence is murdering Trevor Lawrence.
Lawrence will be a good play. And I keep hearing that they want to do more zone read with him and all this other stuff and try to use his athleticism. But I mean, he'd be better off just trying to learn the pro style game rather than trying to, you know, try to fit him into a situational style player that needs to be in a specific system.
It's almost
you need
like you
to
should
get
have
him
gone
out there
to a pro coach.
That's true. Yeah. It's crazy. He'll get one.
I hope they don't ruin him because he's a special talent.
Harbaugh's coming for his job.
Oh,
hey, Urban,
man.
Get out of my office.
Dude, Trevor in a gym offense. Jets, Texans. I can't believe the Jets won this one. Congrats, Zach Wilson, for coming back and proving that you're still alive. 14-24, 145 yards, an interception.
He was sacked four times, and his QB rating. QB rating wasn't great, but this is the Jets offense that's trying to figure itself out still.
Is Zach Wilson a bust?
I can't say all the way yet. I wouldn't say we can't say anybody's truly a bust year one, but the quarterback position's hard, man. So you got to give him at least, I would say if he's struggling this bad next year and there's no real progress, then you can start to lean that way. But you want to give a guy two or three years to say, okay, it's not going to work. Everybody was really hard on Josh Allen his first couple of years, obviously, and now look at him. Now, this year, he hasn't been as phenomenal as he was a year ago.
He's still
ago.
Been pretty great, though.
Yeah, so, I mean, we got to give a guy a chance here. I mean...
Yeah, I liked him coming out of college, but I definitely was, when I would look at the strength of schedule and the people he actually faced, I was like, oh, we'll see if this carries over.
Yeah. That was always the conversation on all of our draft shows, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Same thing with, you know, hey, look, they're graded lower because of competition. Trey Lance looks good. Zach Wilson looks good. Now it's like, where do they land? Like if Zach Wilson lands with, let's just say the 49ers like Trey Lance, then I feel better. I feel a lot better than this situation.
It's true. Vikings 26, 49ers 34. What is there to say about Kirk Cousins in this game? You're paying a guy $40 million a year to be a top 10 starting quarterback in the NFL. One game, he's like a top 5 starting quarterback. The next, he's like a below top 15. And then on a game time drive, he lines up behind the right guard.
I know.
it's you can't write this dude's career arc. Like every time he gets it going, he just does the stupidest thing.
Yeah, he's definitely. I mean, this
dude's out 49ers. Here worried about what vaccines are going to do to his body. He's lining up behind right guards.
No, that's true. I don't know what to say. Yeah, definitely. He's a rocket scientist. I mean, that's that Michigan State degree right there. I would say that you're right. He's the definition of inconsistent. And he's the definition of a high ceiling, low floor type of guy who can give you that elite level play 1 week and then the next week completely fail and bomb. But hats off to San Francisco and what they've been able to do.
Is Elijah Mitchell the number one running back going into camp next year for the
49ers? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Here, can I tell you something? And I want to. So I wasn't like high on Elijah Mitchell to the point where I'm like, oh, this guy's definitely going to be an NFL.
Every time we talked about Trey Sermon, you said, look out for Elijah Mitchell every single time.
I know. I was high on him because I thought I saw the vision as Trey Sermon and Elijah Mitchell being kind of like the 1-2 punch, right? But then Elijah Mitchell fits that, you know, Raheem Mostert mold, right? He's so quick. He's a one cut runner. He's decisive. He hits the hole and he goes. Sermon is just kind of falling off, right? He's in the doghouse. I don't think he's a bad player.
He didn't even get a carry this game.
Right. He's not a bad player. Everything. And I've done my homework trying to read press conference discussion because everybody and their grandmother has asked about Trey Sermon, especially earlier in the year. What's going on with this? Because everybody thought he was the darling, right? Well, I don't think he's done with the 49ers. I think that he's a guy who's kind of taken a step back, trying to learn from whatever problems he had that the coaching staff doesn't like. Now, the thing about Elijah Mitchell that Shanahan has discussed openly is that he loves his work ethic. Hardest worker, comes, never has anything to say other than, you know, I'm going to do my job and I'm going to do it well. And that might be saying something about Trey Sermon. I don't know. Maybe there's some backhanded issues there that I don't quite understand because I'm not on the inside. But it's kind of like the Brandon Ayuk thing, right?
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, you challenge a guy to be his best. And obviously they like
Brandon Ayuk. Looked great the past few games.
Yeah, look, I mean, 3 catches, 91 yards.
Well, now he's the number one wide receiver for them going into the fantasy playoffs, really, because Debo's going to be out for a couple games. And Debo's been their best running back, honestly. Six carries, 66 yards, 2 touchdowns.
That's another thing that I love, man.
Debo Samuel. Why isn't he everyone's favorite player? This guy's amazing.
He is so good. And when I see him line up in the backfield and he's just, I mean, they're scheming things up where they're getting him with linemen out in front and everything else. And he's already hard enough to catch and tackle at the same time. I'm like, man, could this guy be a legit RB1?
Yeah,
seriously. He is like the minute they put him in the backfield as a defensive coordinator, you have to think, oh my God, what are we going to do here? It's just, it's amazing to watch. Almost every time he touches the football, it's a positive play and a big play at that. So yeah, I love it.
Brandon Ayuk, don't sleep, might get some running action in these next couple weeks because he was a beast on reverses in college.
He has that versatility. And like I said, he got challenged by Shanahan and he answered. So I like it.
Let's look at the Vikings. So the Vikings, right now the 49ers are surging. They might be making their way into the playoffs. So the 49ers are up to 6-5. They're in as of right now. The Vikings are holding the 7th spot at 5-6 somehow right now. I'd be really afraid playing this Vikings team in that 7th.
I mean, there was a point where I kind of wrote off the 49ers.
We all did.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Look at this coaching job. And it's Jimmy Garoppolo is out there doing enough. And you've got Shanahan, this team is remaining somewhat healthy, even though Mitchell broke a finger and was out, you know, but now he's back and he's fine.
They got a tough close this season, though. They got Seahawks. That's not that bad.
Yep.
Bengals. Yeah. Falcons.
That'll be a tough game.
Not a gimme.
Falcons, I'm not worried about. Falcons, I wouldn't be as worried.
Not a gimme. Not a gimme, though. Like, Matt Ryan, you never know which version.
At home? At home? Mm-hmm. At Atlanta?
No. At Candlestick.
Oh, okay.
Titans. At the Titans. Texans. And then to close out the Rams. Imagine if it was the Rams 49ers for that playoff spot, that wild card spot at the end. And the Rams just, like, flub a little bit more. Oh, imagine this team, this Rams team, missing the playoffs.
Oh, that would be...
It'd be
listen,
such a shame. It'd be such a shame.
Because they're built to win now. They sold their future to win right now. Mm-hmm. This should be the year.
They should have won their last few. Their defense is not holding. That is the problem.
I heard somebody brought this up.
Their offense is not putting up elite numbers either.
I can't remember where I heard this, and sorry for that, but... Like they like to build with young talent around their star players that they already have, right? And they've done a really good job of that in recent years. But right now, that young talent that's surrounding the core nucleus of that defense hasn't been as solid. So some young guys need to step up.
Browns, Ravens. The Ravens 16, Browns 10. This was one of the worst games of football I watched all year. I turned it off at halftime, so I'm not going to even sit here and pretend.
Yeah, I tried to get through it as well. And 4 interceptions for Lamar. Not great.
Not
Baker
good.
Mayfield. They
Real
you know,
hit on his MVP aspirations.
Yeah, and I mean, he's out there. He's trying to do what he can with what he has, which I wouldn't say is awful. He's got good receivers. All right. He's got one of the best tight ends that in football, right?
He's just throwing a lot of picks.
Yeah. He's not and I can remember two of them were on him that I know of for sure before I stopped actually watching this game. But I will tell you this, Baker Mayfield was being taped up on the sideline. This guy, they're gluing him together to put him in. I don't know.
You don't do this to a guy you're about to re-sign for 4 years.
I think that they want to make the playoffs and they feel he's giving them the best opportunity to do it.
I feel like it's gotta be, what's his name? Cade.
Case Keenum?
Case Keenum, yeah.
What do you mean?
I feel like you Case Keenum makes them better. Yes.
Oh, man. Dude, did you see the Landry when they put him in?
Yeah.
That was so – at first I'm like, all right, Landry's going to come out here. He's going to make a great play at quarterback. And everybody's going to be screaming for him to play quarterback, right? That did not end well.
No, it didn't. But the Browns might miss the playoffs if they keep playing like this.
Yeah, I think that...
I mean, they shut down Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
Yeah. The Ravens still won. I mean, we can't take that away. The Browns are still talented, right? I mean, this was just a tough game. The Ravens won. They're 8-3. It's an ugly-looking 8-3 to me. Because, again, I'm scared of the Ravens in the sense that, okay, they can make the playoffs, but I feel like they could be one and done in a hurry. Because Lamar Jackson doesn't have the running back. You know, I mean, look, Freeman, okay, it's okay. That's it, just okay. 3.3 yards per attempt, 16 carries, 52 yards. I guess that's okay. There's no explosive run plays for this offense outside of Lamar.
Huge difference this year.
Yep, 100%. So Gus Edwards, they were counting on that combination, man. Those two guys.
Seahawks, Washington football team.
Did you watch that game?
I watched some of it.
I was on my third viewing of Michigan, Ohio State last
definitely
night.
The best Russ has looked since he's been back, but only dropping 14 or 15 on Washington.
They've looked bad even with him out there the past, how many weeks has it been now? Three? Has it been 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Like, Russ, I don't know, man. There's something broken with this team. Something stinks. It's their running game. They got no running game.
Yeah, the run game is struggling.
Alex Collins sucks. Like, DJ Dallas sucks.
Yeah.
Carson was their guy.
Well, what kills me is DK Metcalf. He's supposed to be your guy.
Like, one reception, 13 yards against one of the worst secondaries in the league.
And it turns out Lockett is still the guy that Russ can lean on. 3 catches, 96 yards, no touchdowns, but still. Yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do, what the future holds. I feel like Russ is just unhappy, and it's gonna, you know, that's kind of spilling over into his play. But I mean, look at his numbers weren't terrible. I mean, 20 of 31, 65% passing, 247 yards, couple touchdowns, had hit a 55 yarder to Lockett. So, I mean, I didn't watch the game, so I apologize. I usually watch every Monday night game because that is a really good game. It's on an island to watch, but I did not get the opportunity to watch it. I would say, yeah, we had the conversation, Russ being traded potentially, you know?
It's over. It's over. It was a magical run. It was one of the funnest.
Yeah.
I'd say.
I like Pete Carroll.
Not a dynasty. It was about it. They went to 2 Super Bowls. It was almost a dynasty.
Yeah. And Pete Carroll, you know, his time is, I mean, the guy is, he's old. He's an old guy. Looks young.
Yeah.
He still 71. Can do it. He can still do it. I mean, he clearly is. He's not losing any of his steam.
Him and Bill Bell, they're both up there still doing it at their age. Yeah.
So I would say, you know, if you're the Seahawks and you trade Wilson, where do you go? Like, what are you going to do at quarterback then?
Yeah. I imagine you have to get a youngster back. And the craziest part is, the thing that makes this so hauntingly horrifying for them is they still don't have their next first-round pick because of that Jamal Adams trade. And Jamal Adams has been average at best.
Yeah, he's not making a difference. A lot of that could be the scheme, too, defensively. I think Carroll, you know, I'll have to look into this. Something to pay attention to in the offseason if he's still going to be the coach there. And even if he's not, what is the defensive scheme going to be and what is a good fit for their personnel? So maybe Carroll's, you know, one high, cover 3, or his man-to-man type stuff that he likes to bounce in between from. Maybe that's just not as effective the way that he's doing it. Something that needs to be researched, for sure.
Yeah, no, that's true. Well, Brandon, hell of a show. That's going to wrap it up for us this week on our weekend review. Tuesday morning, coffee and football. Shout out to CSPN. Can't wait to have you back, bro. And once again, check out the homie Nate's Fantasy Cast. It's a fun little show. I did an episode. Brandon will probably be on there sometime.
Yeah, he wants me to do a DFS like breakdown on Friday.
Oh, that's cool. That'll be fun.
So I told him I might do that. So
dude, it's super fun, and it's only 15 minutes. It's good. It's an easy to listen to. I listened to it on the way to work the other day. I was like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
I like it.
Yeah, cool. Super fun. And as always, check out Brandon's site, Football Scout 365. There is some new video content up on the YouTube channel. And there may be somebody else in there that you know, yours truly. But yeah, so check out the video content. We did a video on Aiden Hutchinson and Thibodeau.
Kayvon Thibodeau
from Oregon. And they are probably the one and maybe 2 draft pick this year. So that'll be
interesting. Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said during the show, Aiden Hutchinson's performance against Ohio State, you said it. You asked me the question, do I think Aiden Hutchinson dominating against Ohio State, would that make him the number 1 overall pick?
Makes sense. Yeah.
We got the answer. Yes. 15 because
quarterback pressures in one game.
Immediately, Pro Football Focus ranked him number 1.
Nice. There it is.
Immediately, today.
So go check that out, guys. Look at that. We got the video on YouTube. And as always, check us out at the number5toolsportspodcast.com. Same on Instagram. And let the music hit. We out.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the queue.